The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord. I've mentioned in my last few homilies that if we really want a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord, we have to be prepared for the Lord coming into our lives and messing things up. If God gets into our lives, nothing is going to stay the same. It can't. And that certainly is a challenge for all of us to keep remembering, well, I've given myself over to the Lord. I have to expect things to be uneven and shaky, whatever. Today's reading from the Gospel gives us an excellent example of just how messy things can be. Joseph certainly wasn't planning to go to Egypt. He was planning on going back to Nazareth with his wife and child. But in a dream, he's told, no, Herod is on the warpath. Take your son and your wife and flee into Egypt. Couldn't go back to Nazareth, pack a bag or other things. They had to go right away into Egypt. Now, if that's not unsettling, if that's not a way of the Lord messing up a life, well, I don't know what is. And yet Joseph was open to it. Mary was open to it. And so they did what the Lord commanded them. So Christmas is, again, not just this wonderful story of a little baby in a stable, in a manger, but it's really a very challenging story about what Christian life is all about. It's about allowing God to take control of our lives, get into our lives, mix with us, and even mess things up. Because that's the way of the disciple. And of course, Paul is a perfect example of that as well. We look at all the great people in the Old and New Testament. It wasn't an easy path that they walked, but they knew what they were doing or getting into. And even as difficult as it might be, they were willing to be faithful. So we're called to be faithful too in the same way as Joseph and Mary were, as the Magi were, as Paul was, etc., etc. And the same thing will happen to us the closer we get to the Lord. He will get into our lives and make things happen that we may not like. I mean, just one example that's a normal, natural thing is getting older. There's nothing we can do about that. And if we let the Lord into it, it may even be more challenging, because we realize that as disciples, we always want to be focused on the will of God, not my will, not what I want, but rather what God wants. And as we approach the new year, I'm sure you all have your resolutions made, right? No? Well, I'm going to give you five of them. And it comes from Paul. Because the Bible is not just a story about salvation, about people, what they did, and God's interaction with them. It's also a handbook. It's a workbook. And some people put it this way, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. So it's a handbook. So Paul gives us five wonderful things to work on, and I have to say they're all probably the most challenging things you can work on. He talks about compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, and patience. You all have that down, right? You're always patient. I hear that, I would say, 95% of the time in the confessional. Patience, wow, what a thing to work on. And kindness and compassion. What is compassion? Well, it literally means being willing to walk along with someone who is suffering, to enter into their suffering, not to try and change it necessarily, but simply to be with them in their suffering. And what a great gift that is. And one of the ways we learn compassion is by faithfully going through compassion, by going through suffering ourselves. So that as we suffer and we recognize that we don't have control over it and we have to keep struggling to give it back to the Lord, the more we realize that, okay, this is something out of my control, but I can accept it. And then as I accept it, I can be of support to other people who go through suffering. So compassion, a wonderful thing. Kindness. Well, we all want people to be kind to us. But do we think, how can I consciously, each and every day, be kind, do something kind, say something kind to someone, just out of the blue, whether we know them or not? Something to work on. Patience, as I say, one of the things I hear about all the time. How do we work on patience? Well, we have to recognize that when we're in a situation where there's nothing we can do to move things along, what are we going to do? Are we going to get angry? Are we going to get antsy? Or are we going to say, okay, I'm here. What might I do that would be a gift to other people? Pray for them. Look at other people and say, I don't know who that person is, Lord, but bless them abundantly. And that's what we should be doing anyways. But as we practice patience in that way, we become more aware of the needs of other people. Gentleness. Well, again, we want people to be gentle with us. Therefore, we need to be gentle with other people. And humility. How do we practice humility? Well, humility is simply recognizing who we are in the eyes of God, that we are his beloved children, and not demeaning or diminishing that realization, but also recognizing that we can fail, that we are weak, that we are dependent upon God, and to focus on what we can do as opposed to what we can't do, and to work at that. And again, all these five ways of living our lives are practices, they're virtues. There are ways in which we create good habits of living so that no matter how the Lord messes up our lives, we have this foundation. We know that no matter what happens, if I get sick, if I come down with a diagnosis of cancer, whatever it might be, it doesn't mean I can't continue to practice kindness and compassion and patience and so forth and so on. And the more we practice it, the more it becomes a habit, then it becomes something that we can share with others and guide others so that they too, no matter what the Lord is doing in their lives, will have a firm foundation in the Lord. So we hear the story of Joseph and Mary. We hear the story of Paul. We hear the story of all the great people of the Old and New Testament, of all the saints. They all allowed God to get into their lives and to mess things up. And they also recognized, and again, the Bible, the teachings of the Old and New Testament provided them with a pathway through the messiness of life. And again, in today's reading from Paul, we have just five ways of doing that. He also mentions love. On all of this, put on love, to forgive. That goes along with all of these other things. But the more we practice them, the more we become like Jesus himself, who practiced them. Kindness and gentleness, humility, patience, all those things that we know are of value in our lives and something that we want to achieve. But again, it takes practice. Trial, error, failure, but always practice, trying new things so that we can be more kind or gentle or whatever it is we want to practice. So, you know, I'd suggest if you want some resolutions, those might be five very clear ways. Just take one of them. Don't tackle all five. You'll get very depressed and discouraged. But, you know, one at a time, just practice them and each day take note. How did I do today? How kind was I? Or was I unkind? And why was I unkind? How did I allow my willfulness to get in the way of being more like Jesus? How did I react to the messiness Jesus has caused in my life in a negative way? And then to ask myself, how am I going to do it differently tomorrow? How might I do it differently tomorrow? So each day, just very incrementally, little different ways in which we practice these ways of being more like Jesus, the more we recognize exactly who we are in the eyes of God and what we have committed our lives to do and to be. So, as I say, a few days, we'll be celebrating the new year. I know we always come up with resolutions, but here we have in the Bible any number of resolutions or ways of changing our lives that can truly help us draw closer to Christ. But also to remember, this is always going to be a given, the more we practice the virtues, the more we draw closer to Christ, the more we are going to be tempted, the more we are going to have unsettling things happening in our lives. In other words, the more Christ is going to get into our lives and take control and mess things up. But that's part of the journey. That's part of our journey as disciples. And again, if you read the saints, you read all the prophets, John the Baptist, that was their way of life, and so it should be in our way of life. So if our lives are a little bit too comfortable, then we need to say, geez, am I not letting Christ really into my life? And if that's the case, then to invite him into our lives more and more so that we can be the faithful disciples that we are called to be. And again, it's incremental, it's each and every day, so that as we move along, we see real change in our lives. We see how the Lord truly is guiding us so that we in turn can be a light to the world, just as Jesus is our light.